remind you all, please, to seek the shade, keep your air conditioners on, and stay well hydrated. It is really important. So now we acknowledge country. For thousands of years, the first peoples, the traditional custodians of this continent, have cared for this vast land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the traditional custodians of the Adelaide Plains and acknowledge that their cultural heritage, beliefs, and relationship with the land is at the very centre of their being and is of continuing importance to the Kaurna people today. We acknowledge the wisdom of their elders, both past and present, and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We pray that in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we might work together for justice, truth, and reconciliation in this land. I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will sing together, "Where Wide Skies Roll Down."
Collection of books, and the books are divided into chapters, and the chapters are divided into verses, right? Yeah. Okay, the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. It has an amazing 176 verses. Who knows the shortest verse in the Bible? Correct, Jesus wept. Now, who can give me the name of the gospel it was in and the chapter and verse? Now, it's John 11, 35. But if I'd said John 11, 35 to you, I very much doubt that any of you would have responded, "Jesus wept." No. Well, the scripture we'll hear today includes a verse that is so well known that many people do quote it when given the reference. In fact, lots and lots of people don't even use the scripture verse, they just use the reference. It's John 3:16. It's easier to say John 3:16 than to say, "For God so loved the world," because it's that verse. There are entire books on this verse, but you can relax, I haven't got any of them, and I'm not going to trouble you with them. I'm hoping that we can work with that verse and unpack some meaning from it. And that's our theme for our service today. But let's remember that our primary purpose here is worship. Carol.
come to worship the source of all being with thanksgiving and praise. We gather to worship the divine mystery who is good and whose loving kindness is forever. Come to worship the source of all being with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We gather to worship on the divine mystery whose loving kindness is shown in word and deed. Come to worship the source of all being in prayer. We give thanks to you, O God, that day after day, year after year, we can have confidence in your love for us and your understanding in our lives. We thank you that we find your faithfulness in your servants who have proclaimed, who still proclaim, and who will proclaim the great news of the coming on earth of your divine way. The divine way where the oppressed and the marginalized, the poor in spirit, and the poor in material wealth, and all those who count for little in the ways of our world, will be accepted and loved. And we praise you that all people are invited to lift our heads above the trials of life and celebrate the sunrise of your arrival on the horizons of our world. Amen. Thank you, Steve.
We continue in prayer. We worship you with joy and thanksgiving. We worship you with joy and thanksgiving, the eternal divine presence we name God, whose word creates and whose breath gives life. The word of the Holy One feeds us,
satisfied. And there is always more.
In our humanity, we are rebellious and sometimes follow after foolish ideas,
guiding ways which lead away from love.
And yet, when we cry out, we are still in the company of the divine mystery.
The word gives our inner emptiness and pain and embraces us and leads us in life-giving ways.
Divine, unending faithfulness revealed to us in Jesus is made present to us in the Spirit of grace. And we give thanks. Amen. Right then. Now, last time I did this here, the thing I pulled out of my bag broke on me, so I'm hoping it'll work this time. Okay, so one day, God's looking down on earth, and he's just a little bit concerned. And so what he does is he sends an angel down to report on what's going on. And the angel gets back and says, "Bad news, boss. About 95% of them are really rotten. Probably only about 5% good." And well, God's not happy about that. So he sends another angel. Excuse me. He sends another angel down to check. And that angel comes back and it's the same story. "Sorry, God. Good 95% rotten. About 5% bad. Good. Thank you." So God thinks about it, and he's not a vengeful God. He doesn't decide to wipe out the 95%. He thinks, no, the best way to deal with this is to encourage people. So he sends an email to the 5% who were good to encourage them, keep up with the good work. And you know what the email said? Didn't any of you get it either? Okay. "Don't worry. God keeps searching. God has not given up on you yet. God knows you by name. God doesn't contemn you. God will find you and God loves you. You imagine just how many refrigerators God must have? He's got a picture of every single one of us on a magnet stuck to his fridge. You just think about it. Incredible. But for those of us who didn't get the email, God did send all sorts of things to look after us. All sorts of things. This is my survival kit, the one he sent me. And in it we've got some rubber bands to remind me to stretch ideas, stretch my mind to new limits, continue to grow. He sent me some tissues to remind me to see the tears and the needs of others and even myself. He sent me some Smarties because it's important to remember that you really are up to this. You're smart enough. Now, he sent me these too. I don't know if anybody else remembers these. I didn't know they still made them. These are love heart lollies. And they have little funny cutesy messages engraved on them. And they taste fizzy and quite nice. And he sent these to remind me that everyone needs a hug or a kiss or a word of encouragement every day. Oh, he sent me lifesavers for obvious reasons. He sent me, where is it? An eraser, again for obvious reasons, to remind me that we all make mistakes, but they can be overcome. Sent me toothpicks to remind me to pick out the good in others, not worry about the things that aren't. He sent me lots more things. There's one. Sent me a bulldog clip to remind me that sometimes you've just got to struggle and keep it all together. And he sent me a fridge magnet to remind me that I'm on his. So I think I've done pretty well out of not getting the message. And I'm grateful for that. So let's sing. It's number 717. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Thank you.
And now please join me in saying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. I invite you to stay still in your seat or get up and pass the peace of our loving God around this place. Peace, my friend. Probably enough exercise for... that was probably enough exercise.
Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Now, if you are able, please stand to sing The Great Love of God.
There are some quite well-known words in our scripture reading, and some that are often overlooked. But I want to start with context. Context is absolutely important for everything, isn't it? For example, my wife said to me the other day, if you're doing the washing, would you pay particular attention to such and such? It was some mark on one of her tops. Now, I've been married for over 40 years. I know that in context, if didn't mean if I happened to be doing the washing. If meant you're washing. That's context. It changes sometimes how you understand what's going on. Who's Jesus talking to when he talks about, for God so loved the world? Well, the answer is he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and famously he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus starts off their conversation by saying, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And well, Nico didn't understand that one. Didn't make any sense to him. So Jesus tried again. He said, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Well, unsurprisingly, Nico didn't really understand that either. And the preaching opportunities on those two verses, oh, wonderful. But I don't get them today. They're just context. So because Nicodemus doesn't understand, but he wants to understand, Jesus launches in today's verse. And he starts by saying, you're Israel's teacher. You're a Pharisee, you meant to know this stuff. You're Israel's teacher and you do not understand these things? And so here's the simple explanation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Whew. Now, particularly in the USA, for God so loved the world is such a famous expression that you'll see it at sporting events and political rallies. People actually hold up banners that just say John 3:16. I don't know why, but they do. It even happens in The Simpsons. And actually, if anyone wants to borrow it, I've got a copy of The Gospel According to The Simpsons here. It's quite good. So, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Right. And the next verse, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay, well, we probably know that bit too, and it's pretty comforting. It's nice. Then it seems to get really difficult, so I'm going to go to that bit. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now that sounds hard, doesn't it? Very, very harsh. I think if you read it again, it isn't. God is not condemning non-believers or doubters. That's not what this is about. God considers that, like the 95% of people the angels reported to him on, God considers that really we are all doomed. Left to our own devices, we're hopeless. So God gives everyone, Jesus, the good, the 5%, and the bad, the 95%, gives everyone, Jesus, so that they can escape. Escape failure, escape sin, escape their fairly natural base instincts. And God urges you, he urges everyone, take this gift, Don't leave it. Take it. It's what I've done for you. This is your salvation. This is the way you win. Without this, you're not going to win. Without this, you are doomed already. You've doomed yourselves. So what do we do? Well, I think start by accepting that there is nothing we can do to earn God's efforts to save us. There's nothing we can do to make God stop trying to save us. God doesn't have a checklist of those who are worth saving, the 5%, and those who aren't. And it's not even an individual registration process. You don't ring or email. You wouldn't know how to email him because you didn't get the email, so you haven't got the sender address. You don't ring or email him and say, would you put me on that other list, please? It doesn't work like that. Jesus comes to us, reaching out to us and calling us into light. Now, as Jesus said in the reading, the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light. And as long as we want to cling to our bits of darkness, we're not going to get there. See, many of us don't really want to leave the darkness. It might be killing us, but it's quite comfortable, it's familiar. Lots of nice people there. And quite often we really only want Jesus to give us a tiny little tea candle so we can have our own little bit of light to help us cope. Sort of a bit like a palliative painkiller. It's not how Jesus operates. Jesus calls us into the whole light. The light can be a bit scary. Whereas a little light shining over there in the darkness is quite nice. God accepts that. God does not condemn us for clinging to our scraps of darkness. That's not what it's about. Instead, God keeps giving us the way out, keeps giving us the bright light, the light that Jesus keeps calling us to. Now, I've struggled really hard with how to finish this sermon off because I'm just as caught in the darkness as everyone else is. I do look for the light, but more often than not, I cling to my own comfortable bit of darkness. It's much easier. But still, I believe that as a church, we are called to be a people of light, a great pool of light into which other people can step and be saved from the darkness. And it's that reaching out that I think is really important. And as we follow Jesus this Lent, right up to the events of Holy Week and beyond, let me remind you that we follow Jesus into the world, not away from it. We don't follow him to some weird place that's disconnected from us, but into every nook and cranny of earthly life. And we try to do it with a vision of what that life can be. Life reborn, life reimagined in the light of God's reign. Life lived in all its fullness, because the Son of God has been lifted up above all. And that's the call of Jesus. Come, he says, even today. He says every day, come, follow me. Amen. And we sing a new commandment I give unto you, and during it the offering will be brought forward. Thank you. Thank you.
As we offer our gifts to you, Lord, may we remember those who are forgotten by us all too frequently, the hungry, the lonely, the homeless, and the vulnerable. We recognise that the greatest gift is the gift of love. May our offerings help to bring this love to the world, the small world we share with the suffering people we know, the larger world where the power of love is sorely needed. Amen. You would have all received your notice sheet this week via email, or there are copies in the foyer if you need, if you would like to have one. Just a couple of things to bring to your attention. There is a group that is doing the Lenten studies this year, and available in the foyer on the table there are envelopes if you wanted to participate and a donation towards the Lent event. They're out in the foyer table. And also this year, the Holy Week of Ramadan starts tomorrow, and as usual, the Dawoodi Bora, who are part of this church at times, will be using these premises for the next month for their Ramadan celebrations. So you will see them round quite frequently, and it's lovely to see us sharing our premises with them. Now, also on a table in the foyer, there is the updated church directory. We ask, as you leave here this morning, would you please stop at the table, find your name, check to make sure all of the particulars we have on you are correct, and initial beside your name so that we know that you've been there and you've seen that information. Thank you for doing that. We bring our prayers for the people. You call us to be a people of faith, yet we are often people with doubts. We doubt that love can grow again in relationships where anger and bitterness reign supreme. You know the strength of love and the power of prayer. Help us to be faithful lovers. We doubt that peace can come in the Middle East, in Palestine, in Israel, where the loss of thousands of innocent lives have been so cruelly taken. Help us to be faithful peacemakers. We doubt that the hungry of the world can be fed, where despair and hopelessness reign supreme. We know that there is enough food in the world to feed the hungry. Help us to be generous with our abundance. You specialise in impossibilities. You heal the nations. You forgive sins. You set the captive free. You set us free from our captivities. Hear us, O God of grace, peace, and love. Hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who prays with us, for us, and whom we to be praised forever. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will sing together, They Know We Are Christians by Our Love.
Thank you.
May God bless the steps you take and the paths you tread. May they bring you safely to where God needs you at the start of each new day. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Let's go out in peace and joy to love and serve.